Hey guys, welcome to First Baptist Church Facebook Live. It's Wednesday night, it's about 7 o'clock, real close to it. And just excited to be able to speak to you guys tonight. Missed you guys last week, get to hang out. It's not nearly as fun as hanging out in person, but it's close enough. We can make it work for now. Like I said, I'm excited about tonight. It was a word that I felt like God just kind of laid on my heart a couple weeks ago while I was reading, and the title of the message is Don't Count Your Money at the Table. And I think that tonight we're going to look at a situation where David, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, kind of got caught up in what God had done in his life and how far he had made it, but began to look at it through an eye that wasn't exactly godly. And talking about tonight, his response of that and how important his response was in this situation specifically to kind of help us work through some issues we may or may not have. So before we jump into that, we'll just pray real quick and get started and then dive right in. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you just for the beautiful weather today, God. Just the breeze all day long was cool and nice, and woke up this morning and it was just super cool outside and just felt great. I just thank you for that blessing. I thank you for just all of those things that you do for us, the care that you take of us in and out, and just all of the parts of the day that we just forget about you, and we just go on and do our own thing and don't even realize the way that you protect us and care for us. And I just thank you for that. I thank you, God, for just the opportunity to speak tonight. I pray that you would help to remove myself from the equation. It would just be words from you and words of encouragement, God, and words to challenge, and God, words to help us move forward from where we are and to move out of situations that maybe we're stuck in or maybe we find ourselves in from time to time. I pray that you help me to express that word tonight. God, I pray that you would be with the people of this church, God, our family, that we would just know you on a deeper level, God, that we would continue individually to reach out to those around us, God, and to try our best to impact our environment that we're in every day. And as we begin to do that individually, God, I pray that you would just help us corporately to reach our community and then reach just beyond that, God, just a monster amount of area that we can cover as we begin to tackle that, just little bits of area at a time. Thank you for that. I pray for those, God, who are hurting or who need a healing from you, God, whatever that may be. I pray for those, God, who need comfort from you tonight. I pray that they would just find that in you and you be that I am that they need tonight. Pray that you just bless us, help us to continue to follow after you as a church as a whole, and just as the church in our nation, God, as a whole, that we just continue to seek you, God, so fervently and just in a way that helps us all to move forward. I thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you just for who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so tonight, don't count your money at the table. That's the title of the message here. I was reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And this, basically, the first verse of this chapter, it talks about how Satan incited David to take a census of the people in this time. And that in and of itself wasn't so much of a bad thing, but it was the mindset and the place that David was when that happened that caused it to be an issue. And I think this parallels to our lives sometimes, and in my life especially, it really spoke to me in that there are times in my life where I feel like Satan comes at me with this really manipulative spirit and this really manipulative way to take my eyes off of God and to focus on maybe where I am or the amount of this or that I have at a certain amount of time. And it causes me to what seems like a mindless or not a big deal at all, but it takes me from focusing on where God is taking me or has brought me out of into what I am in this moment. What I mean by that is I feel like Satan comes at us sometimes and tries to get us to think about how good are we doing now? How much different are we today than we were yesterday or before we knew Christ or before we were saved or before God changed some things in our life or yada, yada, yada. And you hear me say that, and it sounds like, well, yeah, that's a good thing to think about. But I think what happens is we get stuck in that mindset, and we think like, yeah, I'm a whole lot better today than I was yesterday. I'm a whole lot better than I was before I knew God. And we start to focus on, and I know personally, I get this mindset that it's because of what I've done, or it's because of these actions that I've taken. And it's not by the grace of God, or it's not by His hand of deliverance that has allowed me to come out of that. I get to owning that myself, and it becomes a personal victory for me rather than a victory for God. And I see that, and when I read this, that was one of the first things that popped into my head, and I got so mad. Like, immediately, I got so mad that Satan can be that manipulative, and he can take something that sounds like a plus and sounds like that, and just that minute way and that minute angle that he comes at us turns our eyes back to ourselves, and it begins to create this flesh that separates us, and we begin to have this pride in our flesh that separates us from God. And David kind of had the same thing. David came from a family that wasn't much. He was a shepherd. He kind of rose to fame as he became king, and he was very victorious in war and began to just amass all this wealth and treasures and power and all of these things. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, read it real quick. Get back up to the top here. So verse 1 says, Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. And we see that it was a directive from Satan to take his eyes off of what God was doing in that moment and take him into where he had come from, and begin to allow that pride to well up and begin to allow that flesh to overgrow and create that distance between him and God. And we see that as this progresses through the chapter, that it becomes a ripple effect, and it becomes an issue that doesn't just affect David himself, and it doesn't just affect his personal relationship with God. It affects the entire countries, and it begins to work its way through the whole country. And what happens in our lives too, when we begin to let that pride, that's that selfish pride and that fleshly pride, well up within us, we see that there's a separation here. And I know in my life, when I see this, what happens is, you know, we can use the example of going to the gym. And I like to go to the gym, and I like to lift weights, and I like to feel like I'm getting stronger and progressing toward goals and all of these things. And I find myself, a lot of times, I'll start to get full of myself, and I'll start to get like, yeah, I can do that. Well, if I can do this, I can do 10 pounds more, and then I can do 30 pounds more, and then I can do 50 pounds more. Well, what happens is eventually, one of two things. I'll get really proud of myself for reaching a goal. And what will happen is I'll mention it to someone, and every single time something happens where they're like, oh, well, you can do this. Well, I can do that. And they're double what I am. And what happens there is it begins to hit me, and I say, oh, wow, I was a little bit full of myself. I was a little bit getting prideful about that. Or I have realized that I'm not as young as I used to be. Even though I'm still a young guy, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'll get to where I'm really excited about it, and I'll have some kind of injury that sets me back, that reminds me I'm not some kind of superhero. And what happens is it begins to attack that pride that wells up within me. And I know that when I get into those situations, I become a different person. I start to focus on things that are maybe self-serving rather than a servant-minded attitude. Or I begin to focus on things that just don't matter. And I think that's what happens in our life. It can be something that's a positive thing. Going to the gym and exercising, we all know is good for us. But if we begin to let that overtake us, we get to a point where it can actually cause damage. And we can do the same thing with our spiritual walk as well. When we start focusing on where we are, what we've attained, how we are better than we were yesterday, we see that it begins to cause damage here. And it did the same thing to David. So we've established what his issue was. His issue was he allowed himself to be buffeted by Satan and to kind of fall into that trap of saying, man, take a look at everything you've got. Take a look at how much power you have. Take a look at how much different you were today than you were yesterday. All of those things. We see that he was affected by that. But tonight, the crux of this that I wanted to explain and to bring forth is his response. And the way the points kind of came out as I was praying about this and just kind of reading about it, it became an acronym like the APB, an All Points Bulletin, to say, hey, wake up. This is an All Points Bulletin. Like, you know, if you're in law enforcement, we see that, and it's just all alert, look out, this is a really important issue. And it did the same thing with David. And those All Points Bulletins basically being that he acknowledged who he was, he paid the debt of what it was there, but he also began to bring the sacrifice. So we get acknowledged that he sinned, we get that he has paid the consequences, and at the end of it, we see that he brought a sacrifice to remedy that relationship. And to read this scripture about that tonight, it's, again, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 16, and it kind of gives a little bit of backstory here of when David sort of realizes, man, this is a bad situation. I'm going to have to fix this. This is pretty bad here. So 16 says, when David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven with his drawn sword in his hand and stretched out over Jerusalem, David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell down with their faces to the ground. David said to God, wasn't I the one who gave this order to count the people? I am the one who has sinned and acted very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? My God, please let your hand be against me and against my father's family, but don't let the plague be against your people. So continuing on here, we'll just kind of go through the whole thing and then we'll recap it. Verse 18 says, so the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David went up at Gad's command, spoken in the name of the Lord. Ornan was threshing wheat when he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. And David came to Ornan, and when Ornan looked and saw David, he left the threshing floor and bowed to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, give me this threshing floor plot, so that I may build an altar to the Lord. Give it to me for full price, so the plague on the people may be stopped. Ornan said to David, take it, my lord the king, and do whatever. May the Lord my king do whatever he wants. See, I give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing floor sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. David answered, no, I insist on paying full price, for I will not take for the Lord what belongs to you or offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David gave Ornan 15 pounds of gold for the plot. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of the burnt offering. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back in his sheath. At that time, David offered sacrifices there when he saw that the Lord had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offering were at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it and inquire of God, because he was terrified of the sword of the Lord's angel. So what we see here, we see that first he acknowledged what he did. He came before God and he said, hey, wasn't it me who caused this issue? Wasn't it me who kind of fell into this trap? Let it affect me. Let me be the one who deals with this. I want to shoulder this responsibility. Please don't let it affect those around me. But so many times, and we can see if you read from verse 1 down to verse 16 there, you see that God basically gave him a couple options and said, you're going to have 3 years of famine or a great plague to affect the people. And our sin is really hard to keep contained to just affecting ourselves. It's really hard to keep it localized without causing a ripple effect. And what happens is, even if it's something as minor as people seeing us act a certain way in the middle of a circumstance, and they look to us and they say, oh, he's a Christian. This is how he's responding to this, that, and the other that's going on in his life. Or, oh, wow, he's supposed to be this or supposed to be that, and he's not doing that. And we see that begins to cause a ripple effect through our community, through our family, and those type things. So the first thing that David did when he realized he had sinned was he acknowledged what he did. He came before God and he was like, hey, I did this. I'm the one that messed this up. Let me be the one to fix it. And that brings us to the next part. He paid the bill. He paid his consequences. He knew that he did it. And he refused for that to be some... He could have had an easy way out. He shows up. He talks to this guy named Ornan. He's like, hey, man, look, I messed up. I got to make a big altar here. I got to do some major stuff. I need your area to set up an altar for God to make some sacrifices here. And because he's the king, this guy named Ornan's like, dude, take it. It's cool. You can have it. You're the king. You can do what you want. He's like, no, I got to pay for it. I got to pay for this issue that I've dealt with. And there are times in our life where even in a time of grace and even in a time where God forgives us of our sin, there are times where we just have to pay those consequences. There are times where we just have to remove ourselves from a friendship that's toxic, or we have to remove ourselves from a situation that doesn't allow us to move forward in our Christian walk, or we have to do certain things, and it's not as it's like a penal system, it's just cause and effect. And God can allow us to be forgiven from those things, but there are certain points in our life where we just have to pay some of the debts that we owe in that situation. And David did that. He realized that. He said, nope, I'm going to pay for it. I don't know what the going rate for ground or threshing floors was at that time, but I feel like the 15 pounds of gold was quite a bit. I don't, 15 pounds, it's like, that's a lot of money. Because gold's like really expensive an ounce right now. So he gave him quite a bit of money for it. He paid the going rate. He paid the asking price for what was going on. He didn't try to cheat his way out of it and find an easy way to deal with it. And I think sometimes in our life, we try to do the same thing. We try to find a scapegoat that just allows us to say, you know, hey, I'm a Christian and I live in this grace and it doesn't really matter what I do because God's going to forgive me. That's false. We know that we are going to be forgiven, but it's about the heart that we have in that. And it's about the heart that we have when we come before God and ask Him to forgive us. And He wants to see change in us. And He wants to see us be different. And it's the same thing with David here. And the last thing, too, is he brings a sacrifice back. He decides, like, okay, yeah, I acknowledge that I did it. I've bought the area, I've paid the consequences here, but I've got to bring a sacrifice. I've got to show that there's this removal of this flesh that's grown up between God and I. I want to restore that relationship. I want to restore that communion. And in the time of David, that was the only way he could really do that. That was the only time that he could come before God and say, hey, I know this is messed up. I know that it's my fault for messing this up. I understand that I had to pay this price, but I still want to be as close to you as I used to be. I want to be the apple of your eye again. I want to be that guy that you love and that you hold on to, and I want that relationship to be right. I want to be like your bride. And what he had to do with that is bring that sacrifice to God and bring that thing to God and allow it to be completely consumed by fire and allow that flesh to be burned away. And that excess flesh to be removed and allow his relationship to be restored in that time. And I think sometimes in our life we get the first point. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good most of the time about owning up to what I've done. Like, yeah, I did it. I understand that. There's no way I can really get around this. I did it. I'm also pretty good at paying consequences most of the time. I understand that. Yeah, there's a cause and effect thing here. I get that. But a lot of times I get stuck at that point and I'm mad that there's penalty or there's issues or time that I have to serve to deal with the thing that has separated me. And I get stuck right there and I'm mad about it for a long time and allow that flesh that separates me, that flesh and that pride that welled up to cause the issue to start with to become calloused and hard and just, that's it. That's where I stop. And I forget that I need to ask God to excise that flesh again, to remove that flesh, to cut it away, to burn it away, to completely disintegrate that so that we can be on the same page, so that we can get back to where I know He loves me and I love Him and He's my priority and I feel like I'm His again. And what happens, like I said, I just get stuck right before that. And that's the most critical part because we can do all those things, but if we don't begin to remove that flesh, we don't begin to get that thing out of our life and allow it to be burnt up by the holiness and the power and the hotness of what God is, then we haven't really done anything. Maybe make ourselves mad, maybe lose some time here or there, this or that, but we haven't really fixed that relationship again. So tonight, man, couple things. The first one, dude, be on guard against Satan and his crazy manipulative attacks. To come at David in a way that was so, it's just such a subterfuge to come underneath that and to think of something that was supposed to be a good thing. He could have recollected on that in a way that was holy and right. And to say, yeah, look where I'm at. Look where God allowed me to be. Look where God has brought me. But because of Satan's trickery and his just, it just makes me angry. Like I just get so mad when I think about that. But because of that, he got David's eyes off of what God had done for him and focused on who he was in that moment and focused on what he had become. So if Satan can do that to David, who knew God beyond a shadow of a doubt, man, I know he can do that to me, and I know he has done that to me. Specifically, this very thing that he's done that to me. It doesn't have to be that. Just be on guard against Satan. Just be on guard against him and know that he's got these tricks to mess with us and these tricks to that sound pretty good. That sound like, oh yeah, it won't be a problem. I can do that. No big deal. And then what happens is our eyes begin to shift ever so slowly and slightly in the other direction. So be on guard against that for sure. But then remember, when we get into that point and we look up and, man, maybe we found ourselves kind of going down that gradual slope, or we find ourselves in that situation like David did, like, oh, wow, I messed this up. I didn't realize I was doing it, and I messed it up. Remember those things. Respond to it like an all-points bulletin, man. Acknowledge what you did. Understand that, yeah, we got to pay the consequences sometime. But the most important part of that is offer that flesh back to God so that he can consume it and remove it so that that relationship becomes that direct line that we have with him through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, who came to be that ultimate sacrifice. Allow that to be renewed again. And man, when we do, that's such a sweet time. And when we do, that's such an awesome opportunity for us to talk about again how big God is and how awesome God is and how, yeah, man, he did take me from this to this. But dude, like this week, he took me from here to here. And that was a baby step, but it was an enormous issue between God and I. We'd been messed up again. So yeah, we've taken 95 steps from who we were in 2001 to who we are in 2020. But that those 6 steps or 5 steps or whatever that it took between 1 week or 2 weeks when we renew that relationship tend to be as big or as important to help us grow forward. So I want to encourage you that, yeah, there's a way to fix that. There's also a way to pray that your eyes can be vigilant, your heart can be vigilant against those attacks and against those wiles that Satan has. And he growls and he fusses and he tries to get at us, but he can be kind of tricky and sneaky too. So pray that God just gives you that wisdom to see it and allow yourself to say, oh, I know what you are, and stop it before it becomes an issue. Stop it before it affects those around you. Stop it before you got to pay the consequences for it and go through that issue. But if you find it, all points bulletin, APB. Acknowledge it, pay the dues, and then bring that sacrifice so that you can remedy that relationship. Tonight, as we get ready to pray, I pray that God helps you. Maybe whatever situation, whatever part of that you're in, maybe you feel like Satan's come at you a few times and your armor's wearing thin, or you're getting to the point where you're just getting tired and you don't feel like you can keep your eyes open anymore. I pray for you too. Or maybe you're stuck in that spot where you're like, oh, it makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I get it. Man, there's a way out of that too. Maybe you're just stuck. You're just in a spot where you're stuck. Maybe you're not doing anything wrong, but you're not really doing anything right either. I pray that God helps you tonight as well. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that You can use the scripture that was written in the Old Testament to illuminate our lives today in 2020. To illuminate our lives to show us that Satan's attacks are the same now that they were then. He tries to get at us in the same way that he used to. And if we'll pay attention to your word, and if we'll pay attention to who you are and what you look like, we can protect ourselves from those issues, and we can protect ourselves from that buffeting that he comes at us with. God, I pray that you show us that, and I pray that you give us that wisdom to see that and to attack that and to take advantage of that before it becomes an issue. God, I thank you that you do give us an opportunity to remedy our relationship with you. When we allow that flesh to build up, we allow our pride to grow and become an issue that separates us. Man, you give us an attack to come against that. And you give us a way to restore that relationship with you. And what's so awesome to me is that you always want to restore that relationship. You always want us to bring ourselves back to you and to look at you and say, hey, I got to fix this. And you're there. I feel like that you're so immense and your love is so enormous for us that it never changes, but it also never wavers in your holiness as well, that you expect a certain amount of holiness out of us. And when we're out of line with that, you provide an opportunity to come back, but we have to be different than we were before. We have to change what we're doing and the issue and fix the issue that's causing us to be separate from you, because you are holy and you call us to be holy like you are. And I pray that you help us to move forward to that. God, that you begin to burn away that chaff that separates us, that you begin to excise the flesh that grows between us and restore that relationship with you, so that we can be so consumed by your fire and so consumed by your passion that we can be so impactful and we can be so effective at reaching souls around us, because we're one and one with you. We're tied in again. We've got that cord. It's not severed. It's not messed with. It's right there. It's a straight line to you. I pray that you just help us to see that and use that, God, that way to get back to you, so that we can be effective for you again. God, be with us this week. I pray your favor rests on our people, God, and the people of this church, and the people of just the church of God all over the world. That we see you, and we see your blessings, and we see your favor as we begin to walk our steps towards you and walk in that light that you are. We love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to just be alive today and think about how awesome that is and what a miracle it is that our body works the way it does. Be with us tonight. Help us to get home safe. Be the comfort and the love and the peace that we need. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so next week, same thing, same time. We have the Connect events that are going on through the next little bit. They're going to be through the week, so they won't mess with our Wednesday or Sunday services as far as I know. So we'll be out here hanging out tomorrow, or next Wednesday as well. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll try to make it applicable, and we'll pray that God does it something that's going to challenge us as well. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.